Well, good morning and welcome to the gospel reading for this morning. And the gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Emmanuel. It's great to be back with you again. Karen and I had a couple weeks off, and kind of good to take a little time off once in a while and to realize how much you love the people at Emmanuel. It's so good to be back with you again. And now we're starting a whole new church here, season of Advent, marked by the color purple or blue, which marks penitence, repentance, anticipation, that sort of thing. And I guess the question this morning really that we want to ask is, what are we anticipating this Advent? I know for most people, who have lived in Christian circles throughout the years and the centuries, it was Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. For most people, the thought of Advent, the thought of Christianity was, we want the Lord to come back a second time. The end is near, and Christ's second coming. That is what they were thinking about. I don't know how many of you stay awake at night thinking about whether the Lord is going to return tonight or not. But probably most of us are not walking around thinking about that so much. As a matter of fact, I think it kind of sums it up. When I got back from our trip and I made the mistake of turning on television. We still have TV here, and we hadn't had that for a while where we were in. And we turned it on, and there was the local news channel, and it was consumed with about 15 minutes of describing how people were in line at Best Buy waiting for Black Friday, except it was going to open up on Thursday this time, on Thursday. And so then they interviewed one young lady, and she says, "Oh, yeah, I checked out all my credit cards, got them all maxed out, and I know I'm going to save so much money." I thought, this is really something. So this is what it's really come to. You know, people committing economic first-degree murder on their bank accounts. I cannot believe it. I just saw some people walking around, and they're buying all kinds of food. And they're going to plump their midsections by another 7 to 10 pounds this season. Oh, Lord, please make me an underachiever on that whole thing. I'll tell you that. And maybe one of you or more have gotten into the whole thing of contemplating traffic suicide in these parking lots. Have you ever tried that? I was going to take my son out to the Subway for lunch the other day, and I said, you know, we're not going to go over to the Best Buy one thing out there. We're going to go to the one on Armstrong because nobody's there. Because otherwise, you're frantically looking for a parking spot, and it's sort of like almost you get into fights for that last parking spot or the shortest of the long lines until you sort of retire in a quiet desperation and despair. So we in America end up with two December 25ths, as I see it. Some of us are going to be singing "O Holy Night" in a few nights. And others of us are going to be singing "Holy Nightmare," an inevitable prelude to a time of disappointment where nothing hardly ever measures up to our expectation or our fantasies. And even for those of us who manage to have some enjoyment in this cacophony of noise that surrounds this season, The season is over so quickly, we can hardly get to New Year's Eve and make up New Year's resolutions to now lose those pounds we gained and maybe somehow be kinder and friendlier to those idiots that somehow got driver's licenses and should never have gotten them. And we do all that even before the decorations come down. But the Advent we celebrate in the church, the one that has nothing to do with counting down the days to Xmas, is altogether different. A few years back, there was a movie entitled Tucker. Remember that movie, Tucker? I mean, maybe it wasn't a big hit, I don't know. It was this guy was trying to develop a car with his own name, and he was fighting the conglomerate of Detroit automobile manufacturers. Remember that? And he was having all kinds of trouble getting that thing off the ground, and although I don't know if cars are supposed to get off the ground. But he was having this one scene. He was talking to his mother, who was from Italy, and she had this very strong accent. And she was saying to him, don't get too close to people. You'll catch their dreams. And that's what he heard. Actually, what she was saying was, don't get too close to people. You'll catch their germs. But what he heard was, don't get too close to people or you will catch their dreams. Sometimes it's not very healthy to live off of somebody else's dream in your life. I heard about one man who wasn't going to let that happen. His name was Jim Egan. He worked at West Coast Computer Fair in 1977, and his job was to help customers decorate their booths. And so the industry shows that the cheapest way that you can reach customers in trade shows is to have the biggest booth around where everybody can see your product, your service. And so some are the new businesses are undercapitalized, so they don't have a lot of money to put into these booths. And two young, long-haired kids came up to Jim Egan and asked whether he could put some chrome and finishing on their booth because they didn't have any money. And so we can't pay you any cash, but we can give you some stock in our new company. And Jim Egan says, I'm sorry, I've been around for 20 years. I've heard this again and again. I only take cold, hard cash. And so Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs did without the chrome, fixed up their booth and kept the stock in Apple Computer. Sometimes it's okay to buy into someone else's dream. The season of Advent is such a time when we buy into someone else's dream. And that's exactly what happened on that time when Jesus began to preach, when John was in prison, and Jesus went to Capernaum, and then he went out to the beach, and he went and he saw some folks he had known all of his life, and there was Simon, later to be known as Peter, his brother Andrew, and he says to them, come, follow me, and become fishers of men. And then he went over to John and James, sons of Zebedee, and he says, come, follow me, and they left their nets, and they left their boat, and they left their father, and they followed him, the Bible says. And every time we read this, we're amazed, because we ask ourselves, and some people have not asked themselves, they've declared openly to me, I'm so glad I did not live then. I'm so glad I didn't have to make that decision, whether I was going to leave my business, whether I was going to leave my family, and follow this long-haired young man that's walking around, this itinerant preacher man who says he's going to change the world, would I have done it or would I have stayed on the boat? I don't know. Why did they do it? Well, that's what we want to look at for a few minutes this morning. One of the reasons why I think Simon and Andrew and James and John followed Jesus was, first of all, they saw something very impressive in Jesus. We don't get swept up by just anybody, but sometimes something comes along that will change our lives. If you're around alive in 1956, it was Elvis Presley. He was the one that was impressing everyone. So phenomenal was his impact in the music industry that everyone who was going to cut a record wanted to make sure their song was sung by Elvis Presley. And so two songwriters by the name of Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller had a nowhere composition. No one would record it. No one wanted anything to do with it. They couldn't sell it for anything, called Hound Dog. Now, Mike Stoller got on a boat. It was a ship called, an Italian liner called Andrea Doria, and it sunk. And somehow, miraculously, he was saved. And landing back in New York City after the ordeal, he found his colleague, Jerry Lieber, waiting on the dockside to greet him. But Lieber, instead of saying, "Oh my goodness, you've been saved, how miracle, why you've been saved from the deep," the first words out of Lieber's mouth to his friend was, "Elvis Presley recorded Hound Dog." Elvis Presley recorded Hound Dog. Want to sing a little bit of that, Doug? Oh, okay. Those four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, John, they got so excited because they heard a recording from the lips of Jesus that was going to change the world, and they wanted to follow him. There had to be something very special about Jesus. Secondly, there must have been something very special about Jesus' dream. Jesus came preaching, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And what was it that got him so excited? Well, I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Do you get more excited about the fact that I'm saying the kingdom of heaven has come to us, or that Cyber Monday is coming tomorrow? For a lot of people, they get more excited about Cyber Monday than the kingdom of God is coming. Okay. And if you ever feel that way, maybe the problem is not the message, but how it has been delivered. Because, I mean, maybe it hasn't been presented very well. It reminds me of a woman who learned somewhere from online, some source, that you have to get a really healthy dog, you feed it a tablespoon of cod liver oil every morning. A tablespoon of cod liver oil every morning. And so she knew that the dog wouldn't like cod liver oil, so she had to figure out a way to do it. So she had the bottle, she grabbed a hold of the dog, yanked open by a kind of a reverse position with the arm like this, opened the mouth of the dog, and took a tablespoon of that cod liver oil, threw it into the dog's gullet, down it went into the stomach, and she would repeat that performance every single day. Until one day, she was doing this, and the bottle fell. And the contents of the bottle, the cod liver oil, was all over, and in her desperation, she let loose of the dog, who immediately ran over and started lapping up all the cod liver oil on the floor. The dog didn't despise cod liver oil. She only thought the dog despised eating cod liver oil. The dog lapped it all up. She loved cod liver oil. And there may be some of you that have been stuffed with religion, pushed down your throat in Sunday school. You got to go to church. You got to do this. You got to do that. And all the while, all we needed to do was simply to spill out the gospel of Jesus Christ and all of its liberality, and you can begin to lap it up, and by the power of the Spirit, you don't got to have to. You get to enjoy the taste of Jesus' cod liver oil in your life. I want you to taste it again. I want you to savor a God who broke open the heavens and came down in the person of Jesus. And then I want you to taste anew the freshness of his word as he says, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you through word and sacrament today, filled and fueled for ministry." And then I want you to live in the foretaste of Christ's coming again. Whether you meet him in heaven tomorrow or you meet him thereafter as a new heaven and earth, and the Lord comes at the end of the world, we get to meet him again. This is no distant dream. This is the one thing that remains after Christmas is over, after life is over. This is the one thing that lasts forever.
So the disciples got excited. They were swept away by Jesus' dream. And in that, we learn a third thing. The disciples got excited about their role in Jesus' dream. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. They knew all about fishing. And now they were going to throw out spiritual nets. And they were going to share about the beauty of the kingdom of God's grace among us. The reality of the God's kingdom of power among all people. And the future reality of God's kingdom of glory to those who believe. Their lives would make a lasting difference. And they would come to learn what some of you have come to learn, that there is a big difference between being successful in life and having significance in what you've done in your life. And when they went from success to significance, what they did went beyond their life for countless generations as we become an apostolic church based on the teachings of the prophets and apostles. When the missionaries were forced to leave China in 1951 and Christians began to be oppressed by the communist regime, with the coming of the Cultural Revolution and the suppression of all institutions of religion and all churches, it seemed that Christianity in China was doomed. We heard it said, Communist China, they're all atheists. And yet nothing could be further from the truth. During this period of terrible persecution, there were committed Christians, unafraid of defying the communists, who began to meet secretly in their homes. And in spite of being outlawed, these informal cottage meetings flourished. And as their pastors were killed or imprisoned, the lay people took up the slack and became the new leaders. When their houses were searched by the Red Guards and all Bibles and Christian literatures were burned, they committed the scripture to memory and shared it with one another in the neighborhoods and with their children and their children's children. As the Christians of these small groups displayed extraordinary courage and zeal and love, the gospel spread underground to hundreds and then thousands and then millions of people. Freely they gave of their food. Freely they gave it of their clothing to the needy and the poor. They visited the bereaved and those in prison, and they prayed for the sick, and miracles occurred. And today, the underground Christian church in China has encountered a phenomenal growth, an exponential growth. It's flourishing. Nothing can stop its exponential growth. All because Christians following the Lord said, we're going to become fishers of men. Today begins Advent. We find ourselves caught in the middle of hope. The Lord is at hand. He's among us. We get to savor his breaking through heaven and coming to earth in the form of a tiny little baby. We get to taste him anew, the freshness of my body. Take drink, my blood, in his word and sacrament. And we get to live with a foretaste that we will soon be with him in heaven, a certainty because he has paid by his blood all of our sins so that we are considered righteous and his children now and forever. That's the Advent that Christians celebrate. A Savior has come at Bethlehem. A Savior comes to us today in word and sacrament. A Savior returns as the ruler of all on that day to come. And you and I get to be caught in the middle of hope. Let's rise and join together in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's such a joy for us to come and to be counted worthy to kneel before you in preparation and anticipation of your coming into our lives. We remember this season that you had to come. Our world was going to hell in a handbasket. You had to come, and you had to rescue. And it was your intent from infinity past that you would make all things like it was in the time of the Garden of Eden, and you would do so by becoming one of us, taking on our sin and dying on the cross and rising again and destroying sin and death and Satan. Thank you, Lord, that you have done that. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. Rid us of the kind of world we're living in. Create the new heaven and the new earth. And if it doesn't happen before we die, then, Lord, we will meet with you in heaven now and see it happen later. Lord, we thank you for all of our friends. We thank you for our house of worship. We thank you that you have enlisted us as your disciples, as fishers of men. Thank you for the dream. Thank you for the dream come true. Thank you for changing each one of our lives and making this season something that we catch as we're caught in the middle of hope. We ask, Lord, that you would bring hope and peace, patience and healing to those on our prayer list. Heavenly Father, be with our homebound. Be with them and give them peace and comfort. And Heavenly Father, we come to you in all these our prayers. In the strong name of Jesus, amen.